A man named Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day when he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and, to his horror, saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb back up the steep wall, so he began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear him and lower a rope or something. "Help! Help! Is anyone there? Help!" He yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. When he was about to give up, he heard a voice. "Jack, Jack, can you hear me?" "Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here." "I can see you, Jack. Are you all right?" "Yes, but who are you and where are you?" "I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere." "The Lord? You mean God?" "That's me." "God, please help me. I promise if you'll get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person and I'll serve you for the rest of my life." "Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's just get you off of here and then we'll talk. Now here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully." "I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do." "Okay. Let go of the branch." "What?" "I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me and let go." There was a long silence, and then finally Jack yelled, "Help! Help! Is anyone up there?" Today we're going to talk about trust. And we're going to talk about Daniel in the lion's den. And my kids made some art for us. Daniel and the lion's den. You have the lions and then the angel who comes and shuts the mouths of the lions. So we're going to look at Daniel chapter 6 if you want to turn there in your Bible. And we're going to begin in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6. "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent." So remember that Daniel is an exile. He was taken by a different king, Darius, a number of years before this, and was brought into the kingdom as an exile, as one of the greatest minds that they could find among the Jewish people. So he is a Jew from a nation that they had conquered at this point. So they did not want someone from a land that they had conquered to now be over them and be over the entire kingdom. So the other ones who were in service, who were Medes and Persians, who at this point, did not want this to take place. So the first thing they do is they search through all of his government affairs. And because we all know politicians are always trustworthy and right and do everything by the book, right? Okay, so that's where they looked first. What can we get Daniel on? Okay, they could not find anything to impugn his character or to show Darius that he was doing something wrong or doing something against him. So at the end of their rope, they thought of one last thing they could try. And that's in verse 5. "Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against the man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." The only way to get Daniel to slip up is to make him choose between following the laws of man and the laws of his God. They knew that he would choose God over all else and would not succumb to the temptation of idolatry. So they decided to use this commitment to their advantage. Verse 6 says, "So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'O King Darius, live forever.' The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. So they start by lying to the king by saying that they have a unanimous decision. Daniel, being one of the three head guys, was clearly not consulted on this beforehand. So they're already lying to the king. They've come to a group, and Darius doesn't seem to notice at this point that Daniel is missing. He seems to be so blinded by his ego that, oh my gosh, they're all going to be praying to me for 30 days, and only to me? This is awesome! He ignores the fact that Daniel's not there. Darius also gets to see this as a unifying act for his policies. He gets to unify the kingdom around one common thing, and it just so happens that it's himself. And he likes that idea. He wants it all to be about himself. Now this fits with having the multiple gods of the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians. Okay, they believed that a lot of different things and a lot of different people could be or were gods. So it was not something that he was foreign to him to have people pray to a particular person in this case. Now he goes along with the plan, never even considering Daniel and never even consulting Daniel. He just goes along with the plan. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now Daniel could have changed his habit at this point. He could have stopped praying to God, or he could have stopped opening his window when he prayed to God. He could have done it at night, or could have kept his windows closed. But he didn't. And this wasn't something that he did because they issued the decree. It was his habit. He was habitually praying three times a day with his windows open, facing toward Jerusalem, to stay in contact and stay in that fellowship with God. What kind of lives would we live if we had that commitment to prayer? Three times a day, we were there consistently, every single day, on our knees, praying to our Maker. Daniel recognized that the only reason he had been so successful for all these years was because he maintained that prayer relationship with Yahweh. It was that relationship that was the most important. Now he had to choose to either follow the laws of the land and commit idolatry, or stay in obedience to God. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we're going to talk about in a couple weeks, had to choose between going in the fiery furnace or bowing down to an idol, he also had to choose whether or not to possibly go to death in this lion's den. He didn't know at this point if God would save him, but he trusted God with the results. He knew that he had to do the right thing no matter what the outcome would be. And today we're talking about a courageous Christ follower trusts God. A courageous Christ follower trusts God. Verse 11. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So the accusers present Daniel's disobedience, his insubordination to the king, in support of his devotion to God. And when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. It literally means it was greatly displeasing to him. The king cared for Daniel. He valued him as a member of his government, but he didn't want to punish Daniel. He was upset that he was manipulated by his other wise men and counselors, and he tried to rescue him. Perhaps he was thinking about putting on a suit of armor for him, or overfeeding the lions that day or something. We don't know what he was thinking about trying, but ultimately he could do nothing because he had issued the decree and the decree had to stand. He knew at this point that the only hope for Daniel was Daniel's God. Now it's interesting to think, when you think of Daniel in the lion's den, a lot of the pictures that we see a nice looking teenage, maybe 20-year-old Daniel in the lion's den, you know, ready to fight those guys off. Daniel was probably 83 years old at this point. 83 years old, going to be thrown into the den of lions. His odds are not good. Verse 15. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. So Daniel's thrown into the lion's den, and the king is greatly distressed, and he calls out in hope that Daniel's God would be able to save him. The conspirators at this point were probably well pleased with themselves, because what good is an 83-year-old man going to be against all of these lions? So they seal the stone with their signet rings so that no one could tamper with the cover. But the king was so upset and so distraught that he didn't eat that night, he didn't sleep that night, he didn't have any entertainment brought to him. He was just worried and hoping, against all hope, that Daniel would make it. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Notice that Darius calls Daniel's God the living God. He acknowledges at some level that Daniel's God is a true living God versus all these other gods that they worship. He is saying that the God of the Hebrews, the God of Daniel, has the power to save him. He sees this as a test for Daniel's God. Will God save him, or will God, Daniel's God, prove to be another empty idol? And that's where we're going to end for today. No, just kidding. Verse 21. Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Daniel was saved by God. And he's even mentioned in Hebrews 11:33 in the Hall of Faith there, that those who are faithful have shut the mouths of lions. Daniel had faith and trust in God, and courageous Christ followers trust God. He was found to be without a scratch because he trusted in God to save him. Now verse 24. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Now this is, excuse the pun, a little overkill. Ha ha ha. But it shows you that Daniel wasn't slaved because the lions were tame or because the lions weren't hungry. He was saved by a miracle of God who kept the lions' mouths shut. It also shows that Darius was not about to let his manipulators get away with what they had done. Now, just as Nebuchadnezzar had done when he regained his sanity after the 7 years when he was eating like an ox, when Nebuchadnezzar came out of that and acknowledged God, he gave a praise to God. And now we see the same thing happening with Darius. He issues a proclamation of praise to Daniel's God, the one true God, in verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius proclaims here that Daniel's God is alive and well. He has shown that he lives by justice and lives by the code of conduct where he protects those who follow him. Darius proclaims that God's rule is eternal and that it will never end and that will outlast every human kingdom. Darius proclaims that God delivers his true worshipers, as he has done with Daniel, no doubt also thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego 50 years earlier. Only a true and living God could have saved Daniel from the hungry and the vicious lions. And Darius acknowledges that and orders praise to the God of Daniel. And the chapter concludes that Daniel prospered under Darius' reign and the reign of Cyrus. Courageous Christ followers, trust God. Now, is that always an easy thing to do, to trust God? Is it easy to trust Him when you're under financial stress? Is it easy to trust Him when your family situation is going up in flames? Is it easy to trust Him when you have work issues or school issues going on? Turn to someone near you and just tell them something. When is it hard to trust in God? Go ahead, turn to somebody near you. When is it hard to trust in God? All right, who wants to share a couple things that you, either you said or your partner said? Or you said to yourself if you didn't have a partner? When things don't go your way, absolutely, it's hard to trust God. Let go and let God. But, right. Yeah, I've also seen if Jesus is your co-pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat. Because Jesus should be your pilot, not your co-pilot. Dale? Every day. I think for me, it's sometimes easier to trust Him with the big stuff. But it's the little stuff that I think that I have control over or think that I can handle by myself. You know what I mean? Those things that are maybe not so significant in the grand scheme of things. Things that I can manage on my own or I think I can handle on my own. Sometimes harder to let God take care of those things when it's as opposed to some of the big things. But God wants us to trust Him in all things. And He wants us to turn to Him in all ways, but we don't trust God. Now turn to your partner again, and why don't we always trust God? And you don't have to say, why you specifically, but why do people in general not always trust God? I heard a number of those responses, but one of them that I heard was, don't want to bother God. Don't want to bother God. Guys, God wants you to bother Him, because it's not a bother to God. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants you to come to Him and tell Him everything. One of the books I'd recommend, if you haven't read it, is The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. We did that as our small group study not too far back. But he talks about how prayer and bringing up things in prayer to God, no matter how insignificant they are, it's still important to have that relationship with God where you're sharing with Him what's going on in your life. Another good book is Praying for Your Elephants. And in the next issue of One, I read a review of that book. So I encourage you to look at that. Praying for Your Elephants, and I can't remember the guy's name who wrote it, but it talks about prayer. And one of the things he talks about, says in that book, that stuck with me is, Satan is just fine having Christians read books about how to pray. It's the actual praying that he has a problem with. And that convicted me, because I looked at my bookshelf and I've got a lot of books on prayer. And Satan's just fine with that. I can read about prayer all the time. But when it comes down to it, am I actually praying? Am I actually following through? Am I actually trusting God? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just part of it. Not just the big stuff. Not just the little stuff. With everything. And lean not on your own understanding. Even if you think you can figure it out on your own, don't do that. Give it to God. Let God help you figure it out. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It doesn't say He'll direct your paths if He feels like it. It doesn't say if it's a big thing, if it's too little, God's not going to take care of it. You're on your own for that one. It said He will direct your paths. In all ways, acknowledge Him. Everything. We need to acknowledge Him and trust in Him. A courageous Christ follower trusts God. Daniel trusted God throughout his whole life. Time and time again, he had to stand up and trust God. And we need to live that way. We need to be followers of Christ who trust God. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we thank You again for the example of Daniel and for the life that he lived that we can study and learn from. And I just pray, God, that we will take Daniel's life and Daniel's example to heart. I pray that we will seek out areas of our lives where we're not trusting You. And I pray that You would make those apparent to us now. Bring to mind right now an area in our life where we're not trusting You, God. Speak to us through Your Spirit as we pray silently. What area do I need to give to You? As we think about that, God, may You give us the steps and direct our paths. As we give that area to You and we say, God, I'm done. I'm giving it to You. I trust in You. I trust in You for the results. I trust in You for the path that this is going to take me down. But I give it to You, God. You are my pilot. Guide and direct me in all things. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.